This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen McMurtry in Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to a very special Arabian episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 30th, episode 839. This episode is brought to you by us here at Cox Lake Farm. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, hello, everybody. We hope that you are getting around this morning in the South, all of our listeners in all of the states that were affected by this. And we hope in the North you're starting to warm up a little bit because the two hosts of this show can't quite relate. We're supposed to be in the 80s this weekend. So
don't rub it in, Glenn, please. I have too many friends up north.
I know. Well, we hope that you're all getting around better and that all is good. Karen, I understand you were up my way in Ocala. You were about 10 minutes from my house.
I am so sorry, Glenn. I had no idea that I was that close. And actually, it was a great getaway weekend. We looked at some great performance horses, of course, Arabians. And we had a great time. We actually stayed at Golden Ocala, which I have to say was an absolutely fabulous place.
That's a golf spa and resort in one of those housing complexes that none of us are ever going to be able to afford.
Exactly. Yes. I will pass on, though, that they do make a great martini.
the house is in there. There's a wall outside, so you really can't see into this gated community. But the shrubbery and palm trees that are outside the wall are very, very fancy. I mean, I don't know.
Yes, they are, and they are inside as well, Glenn. Will not be making it a habit of staying at Golden Ocala.
No, I don't think I'll be buying a house there anytime soon. Now, that is supposed to, it says equestrian resort. Do they have a barn in there where you can board your horse and stuff?
Well, I think in as a horse person, that was a little crazy, Glenn, because, of course, we stayed there for the night. So my friend Wendy and I, not Wendy Yang, but another Wendy, we decided, of course, we had to look for this stable.
Right.
Because it touts itself as an equestrian area. Well, no one could tell us how to get there that worked on the resort. So we finally tracked down a guard, and he said, well, I think you go here, you go there. We finally found it, and I have to tell you, it was really a letdown, because when you look at the homes and that estate area and that entire resort area, they are just mind-boggling. And I was very let down by the barn, because I was expecting, you know, the most
chandeliers.
Fabulous barn I ever saw.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Were there any horses
actually,
in the barn?
Well, and you'll know this, and it took me three different salespeople at Boot Barn to find out what hits means. But they had rented out many of the stalls to people from HITS, which I found out means horses in the sun.
Yep, that's right. It's the jumper
so
show that's here.
You would know all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's the jumper show that's here for 8 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. So they rented it out to HITS. Is that what they did?
They did. And actually, I'm sure there were some boarders there that probably live on site. But we were told that they were planning to build another equestrian barn / facility, but it was not there when we visited.
So no chandeliers or brick walkways or any of that?
Not a stained glass window in sight, Glenn. Sorry. Not even a fountain. Sadly disappointed.
Yeah, the rest of the place is good. Equestrian part, not so good.
Not so much.
Well,
but absolutely. The grounds were beautiful, and of course, the facilities were absolutely out of this world.
Well, we have some fun Arabian stuff. This obviously is the Arabian episode of Horses in the Morning that we've been doing for many months here now, and Karen is kind enough to join us and set up the guests and things. We're going to be talking some Arabian news, because there's quite a bit of Arabian news in the first half hour of the show. And then in the second half hour, who do we have coming up as a guest?
We have a delightful friend of mine slash equine photographer, Suzanne Sturgill, who also is a Florida resident, Glenn, and she'll be joining us for the rest of the show when we're done talking about some exciting topics.
Very good. Well, first, we have to talk about, of course, this is Super Bowl Sunday coming up this week. And, you know, there is a horse relationship to this year's Super Bowl. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, who would think that there is anything that the National Football League has in common with the Arabian breed? But there's a lot in common. The NFL has given consent, and this is several years now. It's the only live mascot in the NFL, and it is the Arabian horse known as Thunder for the Denver Broncos, who just happened to be playing in the Super Bowl on
Yay.
Sunday, Glenn.
Yes, I'm rooting, for, I'm rooting for Denver, so let's move on.
I am too.
Only because of the mascot.
they're kind of both horse-related, though. Seattle Seahawks, you know. Seahorses, Seahawks.
That's a stretch.
Seahawk birds. Well, it's interesting. Thunder is the name of the horse that is used as the mascot. And actually, we're now on Thunder number 3. But Thunder number 2 was actually a gray Arabian stallion that was owned by Sharon Magnus Blake. She actually rode him for several years. I believe she started riding him in the games in 1993. And he's just an amazing ambassador, or was an amazing ambassador for the breed. He actually retired not too long ago due to arthritis and then passed away. But Sharon Magnus Blake, was very prominent in Arabian racing, Glenn. Oh. And she, after the first Thunder retired, she donated a second. This was a gray gelding, and he took up the reins, so to speak, of being the Denver mascot.
Thunder the second.
And his registered name was actually Winter Solstice. And for those of us in the Arabian world, he was a cross of Russian and Polish. And, of course, he's done very, very well as an ambassador for the breed. But for the Super Bowl this Sunday, Thunder number 3 will be flying to the Super Bowl.
I read that this is the first time a horse has been flown to this to an event or to a Super Bowl.
Actually, I believe that it is, Glenn. And I have to say it's very wonderful because Federal Express is covering the costs for him.
Ah.
And he's also flying on a special flight that actually is based in New York and also Wellington, Florida, which is, I believe their name is Duda Transportation.
Duda, yep.
That's it,
yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and Federal Express is the one that does most of the flying for Olympic horses and things like that overseas. And they have the special, you know, containers that are in the pressurized cabin or pressurized holds and all that stuff.
They're amazing. I mean, they've shipped, the Olympic champions, world eventing champions and contenders. They're a great company. I also thought I got a kick out of reading his pre-game schedule. They give him a special shampoo with bluing, of course, bluing shampoo because
yep.
he's gray. They want him
yep.
to shine and sparkle under the lights.
A little cowboy magic there.
Exactly. I'm sure tons of that. And then he gets a pedicure. And of course, he probably, because it's supposed to be snowing, will be wearing his special Denver Broncos slinky when he comes on
the
field.
And his name, the Thunder the Third, Thunder number 3, his name is Me and My Shadow, which I love. I love that name. Me and My Shadow.
And It's a great name, and I actually tried to look his pedigree up on DataSource, but I couldn't find it, and I tried every which way, so I'm not positive. I don't know what his pedigree is, but these are incredible ambassadors for our breed. I think it was funny in some of my readings, and Judge Wegner, who is the number two and number three trainer, gave some information about, you know, what was like the hairiest moment, because they have to desensitize these horses to, can you imagine?
70,000 screaming drunk guys in the audience.
Screaming, fighting drunk guys.
Right.
And one of the things she said, you know, we got them used to all of that, but the one thing that both of the Thunders are still a little antsy about is the wave.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Are they used to the cheerleaders now? They're probably trying to
totally
hang out with the cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. Totally,
they are gelding,
used.
So they're probably hanging out over there by the cheerleaders a lot.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure the stallion was too. But I think it's very neat for us as Arabian owners, because all of the Thunders have been wonderful ambassadors for the breed. Before the show, the Thunders have been placed in a special area that his fans can come right up to him. And even the first Thunder, who was a stallion, just, you know, it consistently loved people, loved kids, and were, you know, showed the really gentle, tractable side that are in our Arabian breed.
Well, you know, they can do that because he is a horse. There's some college teams that have tigers and things like that. And they actually, University of Louisiana has tigers. And they actually have a tiger right there by the stadium. And you can't go up and pet him so much. They pretty much discourage that. It's not so good. So the horse is a much better option for that. To be an
ambassador.
Absolutely.
And for those of you who don't watch the Denver games, what the Thunders do is they come on and open up the game historically. And then every time there's a touchdown for Denver, the Thunder comes out with a flag, and, you know, she's actually riding without reins, and it's quite breathtaking and exciting, and everyone is screaming. And now, this one for the Super Bowl, though, Glenn, what they believe he's going to do is just come out in front of the team. He will obviously won't be doing the sprints when they are getting touchdowns during the game, but he will be on the sidelines.
There you go. Well, that's terrific. And I didn't realize, you know, I've watched a couple Denver games. I don't think I paid much attention to what breed the horse was. So that's terrific that they're Arabians.
It really is. And his name, the Thunder for 1, 2, and 3, comes from the fact that in Denver and Colorado, they have so many thunderstorms during football season. And that's where he got his name, from all the thunderstorms.
Geez, he has that to go deal with, too.
Exactly. Talk about desensitization.
Yeah. These are the most broke, desensitized Arabians in the world right here in Denver.
Exactly.
If you're going to get one that retires and you want a bomb-proof horse, get that one. Hey, there's something else, too. You know, a lot of times the people who bet on these things, not that anybody does that, but a lot of times the people who bet on football games, and this is how I used to do it when I was in the pool at the place I worked for the football pool. I always did the mascots. And if you what you do is you take the mascots, and if they fought each other, who would win?
Oh,
so you got Seattle versus Denver. And Seattle's a Seahawk, and Seahawks, you know, Seahawk is really an osprey, is what it is. And they grow to about 20, 25 inches. They're beautiful birds. You have a bunch of them down there in Sarasota, actually.
We do.
Yeah,
you
have a lot of ospreys. That's where I saw ospreys last, actually, was when I was down visiting Wendy. So they weigh, you know, they're 20, 25 inches. They weigh a couple pounds. And then you have the Denver Broncos mascot Thunder, who probably weighs in at about 800-900 pounds.
Actually, Glenn, he weighs 1,000 pounds.
Oh, there you go. Weighs 1,000 pounds. So we've got a 5-pound bird against a 1,000-pound gelding. I kind of think that it's pretty clear there. Although the bird
that totally works for me.
Although the bird could probably, you know, poke his eyes out or something. But I think ultimately Thunder's going to take the victory there. So if you're betting based on the mascot, I think it's a pretty safe bet this time to go with Denver. Sometimes it's a little iffy. You can't quite figure it out based on mascots. But I think today, or this weekend, it's going to be pretty clear. Place your bet.
Well, and also, I have to go back also, 2014, year of the horse.
Yes, that's true.
It's clear.
I forgot
clear
about that. You're right. All right, Denver wins the game. We've predicted it. I'm not giving a refund if you don't win. I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
Don't come back to me. There was, unfortunately, some sad news in the Arabian world, too.
Well, yes. Actually, a very, very famous stallion bred by Sheila Varian, who is an icon in this industry, Varian Arabians, lost one of her amazing stallions, Desperado V, on January 13th. He was born, actually my birthday, February 26th, 1986, though. I can't claim that one. And he passed away. really sad to say. He passed away this month, and that is a big loss. He was a legend in this world. He was sired by Huckleberry Bay, another legend in the industry. And he just carried on the Varian tradition that has made that farm so successful.
Now, I read
big
that
loss.
He had 904 foals. That's a lot. That's a lot of babies.
That's a lot of child support.
That's what I was thinking. That's a lot of babies. He had, like, tons of national champions and halter and performance and all kinds of things as babies.
Yeah, well, his pedigree, Glenn, is the who's who in the Arabian horse industry. So, I mean, that shows genetics, you know, phenotype and genotype, it always shows. And he was just fabulous.
Now, you guys always talk about what country, you know, is it a Russian? Is it, did he have a particular?
Polish, mostly. Polish? He was predominantly Polish.
Okay. And the Polish are there certain ones like the Russian, the Polish, or wherever that are known for certain things? Like some are good halters, some are good endurance, some are good, you know, carriage horses.
Yes, and of course, every, you know, advocate for each strain is going to jump on me about this one because everybody has their own opinion. But I think that, for instance, the Egyptian lines, or these strong Egyptian crosses, they are really highly prized in the endurance riding. The Polish and the Russian, very strong, you know, in really any discipline.
How about racing?
And as far as halter, that's a, you know, pretty much
anybody.
A Heinz 57.
Yeah.
So.
How about racing?
Russian Polish.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they have such great bone to them.
We'll have to do...
And they're usually smaller, Glenn, too. I mean, they're not, you know, really... Some of them are not as tall.
Okay.
So some of the other strains.
We'll have to do one of the Arab episodes in one of the coming months on racing and get a couple people on to talk to us about that, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't know much about is Arabian racing, but it's fun to watch.
It really is, and we can definitely get some great guests for that show.
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, let's do that. That would be fun. I think we talk all the time about thoroughbred racing and harness racing, but let's talk a little bit about Arabian racing.
Bringing up Desperado V, Sheila Varian is going through some very rough health issues right now, which everyone pretty much knows in this industry. So I would just say an extra prayer at night for Sheila. She's fighting it, and we just all wish her the best.
Very good. And then coming up is the ultimate, the Super Bowl of Arabian horse shows. I think I can use that word. And that's coming up in Scottsdale, February 13th to the 23rd. And, of course, Jennifer and I just got done watching the big auction, car auction that's held in Scottsdale. And I want you to tell us a little bit about this show because it is so big. But you guys have a new building thanks in part to the people at the car auction.
Yes, I mean, it's kind of luxury cars in line with luxury horses, as you kind of can look at Arabians that way. And I think it's very telling that on the front cover of the show list, it says, Arabian Horse Show and Shopping Expo. Because not only do you go for the Arabians, but you also go for the shopping, Glenn. I mean, the huge number of vendors all under roof, and Scottsdale, I mean, there are moments when the weather is not quite so pristine, but when the weather is perfect, which it usually is out there at this time of year, it's incredible. I mean, it's the grandeur of the desert and the gorgeous area. I can't even tell you how beautiful it is to sit in the stands, especially for the open halter classes that are out in this big open arena surrounded by the mountains and this beautiful, beautiful area. It's one of my favorite shows in the world.
Now, they built
it does
this,
start. I guess I should say it starts February 13th. It wraps up the February 23rd, which is a Sunday, which was when they have all the Supreme Halter Class Championships. And they've got every type of discipline at this show, Glenn.
Yeah, they do. I was looking at the schedule. Now, before we get off of that, they did build this huge new building, partly in thanks to the car auction guys. But I assume they're going to be utilizing that for the horse show as well. Or do you know?
Oh, as far as I know, yes.
Okay.
I'm just looking through this our show schedule, because the typical show arenas are Equidome and Wendell, which is where they have the halter classes. And I'm hoping that they do have that open, because one of the problems that we've had is when the weather is bad and all the halter classes are supposed to be in Wendell Arena, it's a disaster.
You mean wind and rain and stuff?
I mean, horses out there with, you know, the grooms throwing their blankets over the side of the arena to get them covered up because it's pouring down rain and everyone's freezing. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So
tell me.
But I mean, it's a fabulous show because there are, again, every discipline and great shopping.
Now, it's the largest of the kind in the world, right? This kind of show attracts over 2,400 horses. That's a lot of Arabian horses in one place.
Yes, it is. And everyone gets together and you get to see new friends, old friends. It is a very there's a very large international crowd that attends the show. Not only shopping for human stuff, but a lot of horse sales take place. It's really kind of the kickoff for the show year too, Glenn, because the new hot up-and-coming stallions and horses make their debut at Scottsdale.
You know, we had on Monday's show, we were at ADA, at the American Equestrian Trade Association, and we had a lady on who does the drapes and the stall decorating for stalls at horse shows. I can only imagine what the stall areas must look like at this Arabian show.
Yeah, they're phenomenal, not to mention the parties that go on around those stall drapes.
I bet.
Constantly throughout the show. And I also want to say that one thing as a breeder that I love, love, love about the show is the money, the futurity money. Because the Scottsdale, or actually it's the Arizona Arabian Horse Association, has kept the futurity entries low. So you can enter your unborn baby, your baby in utero, by December 31st of each year for $100. And, of course, the stallion has to be entered in their Scottsdale signature stallion class or auction and futurity. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. I will tell you, we actually took two fillies out there. This is maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was shocked. It was a wonderful show. One of the craziest, happiest moments of my life. There were 92 fillies in the filly class, Glenn.
Oof.
And our fillies placed 5th and 6th. I didn't think I was going to make it through the show. I think I developed an ulcer because we went through 3 cuts to get there. But, oh, my God, I'll never forget that moment when they called out those numbers.
Now,
that futurity, it was great because we probably got $6,000 or $7,000 in show money from those two fillies.
Tell me
what we spent to get them out there to that point.
Right, exactly. That's true of any horse show. Tell me, tell me what a futurity is, because I know there's a lot of listeners that are like me that, you know, we kind of know maybe what a futurity is, but that's what that I always associated more on the western side, the quarter horse side, because you always hear about the futurities for the quarter horses and they pay a lot of money. So what is a futurity?
Well, and with Arabians, we do have halter and performance futurities. A futurity is essentially where you're kind of gambling on what your unborn baby is going to be doing and performing as. And essentially, a futurity is established through an organization, whether it's Scottsdale, there's Iowa Gold Star, Minnesota Fall Fest. Actually, in our area, we have Region 12 Spotlight Stallion Program. And essentially, it's based on breeding and then the offspring from that breeding. So a mare owner will pick a stallion that's in one of those futurities. This owner of the stallion has to pay money to put their stallion into that futurity. Then the mare owner either buys, there are two ways to do it. You either breed to the stallion that's in the futurity You have to enter your baby's, the mare's name and stallion's name on the nomination fees before the end of that year that they're in foal. And then that baby is eligible then to show in the futurities, which for halters usually as a yearling. Some of them have 2 and 3 year old futurities, so you can keep this process going. And then they usually have a stallion auction. So the stallion that's enrolled in the futurity, like Scottsdale, they have a huge auction. And you can do that. I believe this year they're allowing you to do it online, or you're there. And it's so much fun, Glenn, because it's like a big party. There's a huge area, and they auction off breedings to one breeding per stallion that's entered. Many times they'll have the stallion there, and they'll bring that Arabian in and hoop and holler, and that stallion's just really showing himself, or they'll put a video up. And then people bid, and they buy the one breeding to that stallion. Those futurity purses are much higher than the like the signature classes, where you're paying your $100, and anybody who's bred to that one particular stallion can go into that class. And then the futurities for performance work the same way.
Do they actually have an auction where they auction off horses at this show?
No, not horses, just the breedings.
Gotcha.
But I will tell you that a lot of sales take place.
I bet.
Still in particular.
Now, is it like Quarter Horse Congress, where of course, this one has like 300 vendors, but is it like Quarter Horse Congress, where every trailer manufacturer shows up with the biggest, most fancy trailers, too?
Yes, and they have actually auctioned off a raffle ticket, a trailer at the show. They do that at U.S. Nationals also.
Yeah, because some of the big fancy trailers that none of us will be able to afford, you know, that have the living quarters that are super fancy.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah.
They have them there.
Pulled by $200,000 tractor trailers. Yeah.
We can only dream.
I know. Well, before we get on to our guest for today, I wanted to remind everybody that we do have a new game here on Horses in the Morning that we're starting, and we're replacing the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So starting next Wednesday, what we're going to do is, how we're going to play this is, we are going to invite one equine celebrity, that's the person, not the horse, because the horses don't say much on air.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to invite one equine celebrity, and they're going to play against one of our listeners in a trivia challenge. It's going to be 3 rounds. It's going to be Jeopardy-like, you know, kind of thing. So it's going to be 3 rounds. The winner will win a prize that we're going to announce. No more wheel. We won't be spinning the wheel anymore. We'll actually announce the prize ahead of time. And to kick us off next Wednesday, we have a very special first guest here who has been with us before. Olympian eventer Gina Miles, silver medalist, going to be joining us. And Gina is giving away, she's actually providing the prizes along with Professional's Choice. She's going to give away one of her signature brand bits and her brand new, one of her signature brand saddle pads, signed by her.
Exciting.
She's going to sign the saddle pad for you. So you get one of her bits and one of her saddle pads, and if you're chosen to play. We're going to have a sign up on the website starting tomorrow on Horses in the Morning website. People will be able to come sign up to play, and then we'll notify you if you've been picked by email and say, okay, can you do it next Wednesday? So you only have to sign up in our system once, and then we're just going to keep picking at random as we go along. And so if you're picked to play next Wednesday, you'll be playing against Gina Miles. If you win, you win the prizes. If she wins, then she will pick a charity of choice, and we will donate the prizes to her charity of choice.
So that is a great idea, Glenn. What a great game.
I know. It's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll have a different celebrity each week. That's going to be fun, too. We'll have a different celebrity each week and a different player each week from our listeners. And I think it's just going to, we'll mix it up a little bit. We actually played the Wheel of Trivia for a year, so we thought it was time to mix up the games. And we'll play this one for a while, and then we'll switch it out again with something else that's fun. So
I'll definitely tune into that.
Yeah, look for that next Wednesday morning. It should be a trip. Well, let's take a break for our song of the day while we line up our guest. We have Suzanne, right? Suzanne Sturgill.
Suzanne Sturgill.
Sturgill, okay. And she's one of the most respected equine photographers in the world, lives in Bradenton, Florida, and we'll be right back with her.
mostly grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you miss it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I wanna go to an old hoedown long ago in a western town. Pick me up cause my feet are dragging. Give me a lift and I'll hay your wagon. Love is a rose but you better not. On the vine, handful of thorns, and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Mine. Love is a rose. Love is a rose.
Hi, Suzanne. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Well, I was thinking when going back through my memories with you, which have spanned quite a few years, I think the first photo shoot that we ever met on is when I had you come out, and I believe that was like in 95, 94, 95, when we photographed GF Exquisite.
Yes.
But how long have you been doing this? I know you were doing this before you and I met.
I started 1989 and started shooting with just local shows, little schooling shows, and graduated from those to C shows, to A shows, and then no shows anymore.
Hey, Suzanne, were you a horse person first?
Yeah, I grew up with horses all my life. Since I can remember, I had a pony or a Morgan mare that was my horse. Trained and raised a Morgan gelding that I had since he was born till he was 29 years old.
Oh wow!
So he's my firstborn son.
And did you show?
Yeah.
Did you show at all?
Yes, we showed as a kid. 4-H and open and just a little bit of everything. I was just your typical
horse crazy kid. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And then did all the 4-H stuff like the horse judging teams. And
was that in Florida, Suzanne?
I don't know if they have it in Florida. This was in New Jersey where I grew up.
Oh, okay. So that's where you started.
Yes. Well, not really as a business. I started my business in Florida. But as a kid, I grew up with the horses in New Jersey, and the judging team, I think, was a big positive towards my photography career.
Why do you say that?
Because I shoot horses for marketing purposes. For the most part, my clients were marketing the horses. So I have to be able to see in a split second the best of that horse and the worst of the horse and capture the best of it in, with a good confirmation. Capture a pretty picture, but also have good confirmation at the same time so that it markets the horse.
Right.
So do you have a mentor?
Confirmation. A mentor? I studied Polly Knowles pictures when I was a kid. I studied Johnny Johnson and Jerry. And, it's great that we're all good friends now, too. And Johnny Johnson said, he's my biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan, Suzanne.
Can I go ahead and tell the story about Johnny Johnson at our farm?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Johnny Johnson is one of the, you know, the first or a handful of equine photographers back in the, what, 50s, 60s? They were the pioneers. And Johnny Johnson is like the most funny guy. Apparently, he wasn't when he was younger from, you know, the stories. He kind of had a temper, but, you know, he was one of the few out there. So everybody kind of bowed down and tolerated his behavior, and he did incredible photos for everyone. Well, he and I were speaking, and he wanted to come to our farm. So I said, fantastic, we'd love to have you come. He lives out on the other coast. So, and he's getting up there. I want to say he was probably in his 70s when he came. He's still alive and kicking strong. But so I called Suzanne, and I said, Suzanne, Johnny's coming to the farm. You know, would you like to come over and meet him? So she said, of course. So Suzanne comes over to the farm, and this is just when Johnny was trying to learn, kind of transition from film to digital. So he was having some issues, and he was a little irritated. And there were two other women that were helping us. And maybe you can go into the props at this point, Suzanne, of what we use as props in this Arabian photo shoot. Fine.
Well, Johnny's were a little bit different, so I wanted to see what he did. And but he had me in the middle with a beach towel.
I was the bear.
Yeah, and don't move until I say so. And then he had one at one end and one at the other end with probably bags, plastic bags, if I recall. And somebody was in the corner, though. Is that where that picture came from?
I think we had it. I think so. I think maybe he had an umbrella or something or another plastic bag. But there were three of us involved in being the props for this photo shoot. And just trying to, which means we're just trying to get the horses excited and animated. And so he's out with the camera, and he's not very mobile, and he's standing there. And there are three of us, and we introduced ourselves. I said, okay, Johnny, it's Suzanne, and it's Shannon. Of course, I'll be the bear, which means being under a beach towel and growling at the horse as you're coming up to it and getting the look. So we're all in our position, and he would say, of course, our names, Shannon, Karen, Suzanne. Debbie, you got to move to the left.
Right.
And it went on like this. And finally I said, and he was getting more and more aggravated because we're looking at each other going, which one of us is supposed to be Debbie? So I said, wait, time out, Johnny. And we had to go through, wait, this is Suzanne, this is Karen, this is Shannon. And it was hilarious. Happy moment.
So that's how they get the Arabians looking all perky.
Well, Suzanne has much more tricks with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us some of them.
I think we tried doing it's a blow up remote control fish that goes around and it's, you know, stays in the air.
Oh, yeah, like one of those floating dirigible things. I had one of those at one point. It doesn't go very fast.
They float real good inside a building, but when you get them outside, you can't control them.
No, they're going to be gone.
And so we did put we had a big string on it, and then it worked really well at this one farm for a stallion that never used his ears right for a mare. So we needed a different prop that he's never seen before so that he would use his ears better. And this big fish did the trick. And so then we used it at another farm in Texas. And they had it all ready. We got the string on it. He puts it in the groom stall till we're ready. And another groom went in, opened the door, left the door open. And it kind of just...
It escaped.
...on out. Went down through the barn.
Oh, no.
And then just as it hits the aisleway, it takes off. And Chris jumped as high as he could to grab it, but it was gone. It was heading straight for downtown Waco.
Because they put helium in those, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yes. Yeah. Now, what do you do only Arabians or do you do all breeds?
I used to do a lot of breeds, but now I'm pretty specialized in Arabians.
What was the most challenging breed to do?
Most challenging?
Or are they all about the same?
They're all about the same.
Yeah.
I think actually, though, the Arabians are challenging to me because you need to come up with something different all the time. And that's why I love the Arabian horse and the Arabian people, because we actually, we love beauty.
Well, you're not going to find a more colorful bunch anywhere.
No, and that's why I love it. I love it.
You're welcome.
I like the best class I like at Arabian shows is the costume class. That's my favorite.
Yep. Well, that's a different, I found, because I've shot a lot of different breeds. When I first started, each breed has a different breed of people.
That is true.
And I love the Arabian people, one, because they're usually appreciate art. And so when you're shooting your horses, they love anything that's beautiful, that's still conformationally correct. Can still work that way, but you don't have to stick with the norm with the Arabians. Whereas some of the other breeds, it's very, okay, this is the shot you get, boom, 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 and it gets kind of boring. And so you're free to be an artist with the Arabian photography, I feel, and that's probably why I love it so much.
And let's also be realistic. They have the best parties.
They have the best parties?
I think we all do know where the best drinks are, okay? So, speaking of confirmation, Suzanne, I think it's important to bring a topic up about altering confirmation now that it's a digital world. So how do you address that and make sure that people do know that you do not alter confirmation?
Are you, so I understand what you're asking, are you talking Photoshop here?
Photoshopping and changing the horse's conformation.
Okay.
So that it's telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And false advertising.
Changing the back or the, taking some off here or there and that kind of thing.
Right.
So they actually do that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, then it's gotten a bad rap. And so now everybody's looking to see, if that horse is just so, so beautiful, how can it be so beautiful? They must have did something to it.
Gotcha.
I have, not that I'm aware of, only been, somebody said I did something to a photo once. And it wasn't, but there's a couple other photographers that are people are accusing of all the time. But I happen to, if I'm looking through my camera at the back, looking on the back of my camera as we're shooting, and you see, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. Nobody's going to believe it. I shoot the back of my camera with my phone.
Wow.
And I show people, whoever's there at the farm, look at that. Oh, my God, look at this. And look how long his neck looks, So I'm trying to back it up with, you saw it, these people saw it, here's a picture of my phone, if anybody ever did. And like I said, only one person's ever tried to say something about my photos, and thank goodness, because, it could discredit all my clients, too.
Right.
And that's what it's done to this lady that is very well known for touching up the photos to extremely... we have a name or word for it, but I won't name names. But nobody believes those pictures anymore.
And why, Glenn, and it's so important for everyone to understand why this is so critical for us, especially as Arabian breeders. nine times out of 10, we don't have the time or economics to travel to where a stallion is that we want to breed to. Or let's say you want to purchase a horse and, you know, let's say there's no video available for some reason. You're relying completely on the equine photographer's rendition of that horse. So it's right. very critical that that confirmation is not altered. And actually, if you go on the internet and you just kind of Google this, you will see side-by-side examples of a horse pre-photoshopped and then afterward, and it's disgusting, you know, what it can do to totally alter that horse.
But it, when it's found out, it discredits that photographer, discredits the person that owns the horse, too. Those trainers and farms, nobody's going to believe them. A lot of my clients have sold a lot of horses sight unseen just from the photographs, apparently because they trust my photographs. And they trust the breeder.
Ethics is very important in all of our industries. So.
Yeah.
Speaking about like digital versus film, I mean, when I met you, you were in film. Was that a difficult transition to go from film, the good old days, to the digital world?
A little bit, but not too bad. I kind of worked it, did them for fun pictures while I was at the shoot, but then I stuck with my film just to be there. But now I would never go back to film, you know. And
yeah, when we think about how expensive that was, you know, and now you can take a million pictures and, you know, really it's the cost of memory, which is nothing compared to, you know, doing all of that film to try and get that one shot.
Right. But I think that anybody starting to learn, they miss actually learning how to photograph the horse or whatever they're shooting.
Yeah, because because of the same thing. They can take a million shots and just hope to get a one shot rather than trying to make each shot count.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, I'm old school and I used to teach back in the day, teach photography, and I minored in photography, and it's that taught me to see things differently. That taught me to see how light works on your subject and your background. So yeah, it's a different universe we live in.
You know, Suzanne, I know you know him. We've had Scott Trees on. He's come on to give us photography lessons on our show, Horse Tip Daily. And, you know, that's one of the things, and I love Scott. He's a great guy. One of the things that he's talked about every time is, I don't want anybody using the automatic shutter. You know, he said, you got to practice, you know, just doing it one picture at a time, and you're going to get a better shot than just letting the shutter go.
Oh, yeah, you can still miss it by putting on machine gun.
Yeah.
These cameras can go so fast. And you can still miss the exact moment that it should have been shot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you take the art out of it.
Right. That's what he talks about.
And
yeah.
When we were shooting film, it cost money, it cost developing time because of running it to the labs to see what you got. And nowadays, you don't have to do that, so they just... You know, we had to do that. We couldn't put it on motor drive. Or you'd spend $1 million.
Right, right, exactly.
Horse.
That's true.
Exactly.
You learned the timing. And I think that's what people are forgetting. And they're not learning the basics. I think if everybody started with a film camera, you would have so much more basic knowledge in how to use the digital after that.
I'm on your website and checking out all the different. I've been just sitting here looking through the photos. I'm very partial to silhouettes, and you have some excellent silhouettes in here. I have actually a silhouette on my wall in the studio here. I just love silhouettes, and you have some really neat ones here too.
Thanks. I like silhouettes, but they have to be so precise because every line has to count.
Yep.
And work just right.
Yep. They're probably tough to get absolutely right.
My favorite silhouette, and probably it was a challenge, and it was probably became my first signature photo back in 1990-something, early 90s, was E.A. Novette, and she was a 5-time USDF Grand Prix horse, or USDF Horse of the Year for Grand Prix. She was an Arabian, and that was quite the feat to do that also. And but she's trying to find a place to do a silhouette in Florida is not easy, because we're flat, pretty much, everywhere.
And boring.
And,
yeah.
And so we did take Novette to the next farm over. This is in Ocala. And they had one spot about 10 feet wide where if I laid on my stomach, I could get her up in the sky and get all her feet. Because she's a dressage horse, I want to see all her feet and movement. And so we had 10 feet this way, 10 feet that way. And the owner of the farm and horse could not see what I was getting. She said, I don't know what she's doing, you know. So, but we got the most beautiful half pass of Novette and the orange sky. I don't know if you remember that, Karen. But
I do remember that.
But it was so difficult because we had 10 feet for the horse to be in the right stride at the right time and not have trees interfering with my silhouette. So, and when we got done and she showed the pictures, I showed her the pictures. I've hand delivered those because I really wanted her to see them. I wanted to see her when she saw them, and she just cried. I have no idea what you were getting. Oh my God, that's beautiful.
I think I'm looking at that picture actually. I think it's in your gallery, Arabians One.
Probably.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at that picture now. There's another one in that gallery too, and I really am partial to these. And that's the one I have hanging on my wall here. Is you have another one with what looks like a guy at the entrance of a barn, and this is also in Florida because you could see all the Spanish moss on the live oak tree, and he's holding an Arabian at the end of the barn. And it's just the silhouette of them in the barn aisle with the trees in the background. I like that one. That was really good.
That might be John Randberg and Mark.
I think that's John R. and Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a neat shot too. Now I also noticed that you have products for sale on your website as well.
Yeah.
And when I went to there, I saw model shoots, and it seems to me like you like taking pictures of half naked guys. I'm just saying.
Well.
Just saying. That's what I'm seeing.
Good
on
looking.
Here. I'm not seeing any pictures of half-naked girls. I'm seeing a lot of pictures of half-naked guys. So, Suzanne, what is it with that? I can tell I'm prejudiced here.
Well,
you're on your own, Suzanne. Go.
That started with a guy in Mississippi that just had the most incredible bone features in his face, and he's helping us out. And I was like, can I photograph you? And then that kind of started.
Nobody has ever asked me that, by the way. So I'm just so.
No. Glenn,
I'm feeling left out here.
She hasn't seen you yet, okay?
Okay, that's it. That's what it is, I'm sure. And nobody wants to see me with my shirt off like these guys, let me tell you.
You have to be careful, too, when you ask, especially for a girl. Ask,
yes,
I bet you
do. Oh, and by the way, can you take half your clothes off?
This one time was a guy that looked like Sam Elliott, like a younger version of Sam Elliott, kind of rugged, and he was driving a tractor at a horse show or something. And so I asked him if I could photograph him sometime. And oh, yeah, okay. So I found out he's got a son that lives in Sarasota, and he was coming down to visit. So we met for lunch or something to discuss what we wanted to do for the photo shoot. And all legit on my part. And as we left, he leans down and kisses me in my car. I'm like, excuse me?
Oops.
Oh, I thought that was just a pickup line. No. It wasn't.
Didn't you do a calendar, too, with guys?
I never finished the calendar.
Oh, you started one and never finished it?
No. Then I wanted to do
I think you have enough material.
Yeah. mostly of one of Jody. Well, see, then there's also a difference between the stud book and the testosterone gallery. The stud book, you have to be a real horseman. A real horseman, and I make you look like a model. And then the testosterone gallery is
just hunky guys.
The guys that aren't. Yeah.
That's funny.
I also love your portraits. Those baby photos are just adorable. Just amazing, Suzanne.
I don't have a lot of experience with the kids. I tend to get along with animals better. But, but it's fun. It's been really fun. My husband is really good at getting, because it's just like the horses, you have to prop them. And my husband's really good with the kids and propping them to get reactions and natural reactions from them, which is what I like to capture from them. So that's been a really fun adventure with some doing those. I wouldn't mind having a little more time to do more of it.
Well, there is some absolute. I'm looking at that section now, and there's just some absolutely adorable pictures of kids. I like the, kids in cowboy hats, and it's just some really cute pictures. Well, we are running out of time here, Suzanne. Where can people find your work?
My website at www.suzannesphoto.com. So SUZANNESPHOTO.com.
And she also has some products on that website for sale. You can go to that particular section of the website and find it there. We appreciate you being on. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Suzanne, thank you so much.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Karen, and of course, it's Arabian Day. We just got done talking to a photographer of Arabians, and of course, we had a lot of news earlier in the show, but I want to know if you have any news. When do your babies start coming?
Thank goodness with this crazy weather, Glenn. They are not coming until the end of March. So I'm not having to fall out babies with five layers of clothes and scarves and mittens on.
Or
the end of March is when the store comes.
Or raincoats, because we're supposed to have our dry season in Florida from October to March. It's not supposed to rain like hardly at all. I mean, no rain. And it's been raining four or five times a week. I mean, it's just been, like the rest of the country has been experiencing the cold and all that. We've been getting rainy season when it's not supposed to be. So I can appreciate that. How many babies are you expecting?
I'm very excited about this. We have five coming. We have two by our stallion and three by an outside stallion who was a Scottsdale champion. His name is Al-Shahid N.A. And I can't wait because he's a young stallion. These are going to be some of his first babies on the ground. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing and these babies. And also, we might have a black baby in our midst praying for that.
Is that a good thing?
In April. It's a great thing if it's good quality. And it's actually doubling up on my Ali Jamal bloodlines and our breeding program. And we have a very good chance of getting a really high quality black baby.
Are they rare?
Can't wait. Really good quality ones are rare. I think what happened, Glenn, is a lot of people just were breeding for color. So they were not looking at type or bodies or legs. It was just, the Black Arabian. And, there are a lot of, kind of not so great quality Black Arabians out there. Now, there are some great quality Black Arabians, but you really have to focus on the whole package, not just the color.
Did that start with the movie?
Yes, it did.
It did.
That really helped it. Or hurt it.
Yeah, one or the other.
Depends on how you look at it.
Right, one or the other. And then are all these mares on your property then?
They are.
Well, I know when I'm coming down. I'm coming down in April when all the babies are on the ground. That's when I'm coming down.
It's the best time of the year. I love it.
Yeah, and there's nothing better than a couple-week-old babies all running around.
That's a perfect time to come down and visit.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's when I'm coming. I'm going to wait till the babies are on the ground.
Yeah, and actually, I am working. I'm hoping to debut this next week, but I'm putting together a contest based on my foaling season this year.
Oh, cool.
So we're coming up with some cool prizes, and the factors are going to be whoever guesses, okay, so five mares, and I'm working on the statistics for this, but whoever guesses the most correct answers for gender, color, day of gestation, and AM or PM when the baby's born, could be up for some prizes.
Oh, cool. That's fun. Well, let us know. Yeah, I mean, would that be ready for the next show that you do?
Oh, absolutely.
All right,
it'll
cool.
be on the record, yes.
Yeah, cool. Well, let me know when you get that up there, and we'll put it on our Facebook page and announce it on the show, too, so people can go guess. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, it's the first time we've done something like this.
Cool. Very good. Well, it's been fun having you. We really appreciate you being here once a month for the Arabian episode. And, of course, it's brought to you by Hawk's Flight Farm. So tell us a little bit about that and the website.
Well, we are here in Sarasota, Florida. Our website is hawksflightfarm.com. We are also working on some new production episodes for hfladysnickers.com. So we have a lot going on here, but take a look at our website, and we're adding new things constantly, and as soon as this contest is up, ready to go, I will let you know.
Very good. Thank you. We appreciate that. And, of course, we'll be back here tomorrow morning. It is Friday, so Jamie will be here and Jennifer and I, and it's Really Bad Ads Day, so you're going to want to tune in for that as well. We have a couple of great prizes. If you want to get your ads in, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You have today yet to do that. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com to get your ads in for Really Bad Ads. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. We'll talk to you again next month, and have fun in the rain down there in Sarasota.
And go Broncos and Thunder.